Good evening, brothers and sisters. I'm Brother Paul Stiles from the Livonia Ecclesia, and our pianist this morning, or this afternoon, this evening, is our brother Aaron Regal from the Coutts Ecclesia. We'd like to open our evening session this evening with the use of the Midwest Welcome Hymn. Welcome, welcome to the Midwest, brothers, sisters, children too. As we gather here together, may the Lord bless all we do. Afterward, we'll ask our brother Tim Cooper to open with a word of prayer.
Dear Almighty Heavenly Father, we come before you now truly thankful for this day that you've given us a chance to come before you and to seek forgiveness through the sacrifice of your dear Son, and then to continue on and to learn of the proper and the right way to read your scriptures one to another with vigor and with encouragement, and to really have the words come alive off the page. And here now, as we come together again with brothers of like precious faith, we are so encouraged to truly kick off this week together, this time together, apart from the world, to open up our hearts and to allow your word to sink deep down into our hearts and into our minds. We ask that you'd be with our speakers in the introduction and really get us excited and get us focused for that time that we will have the rest of this week to study your word with those speakers. And we ask that you'd be with them and that you'd be in the very words that they would say to us. Also, help us to be attentive as we hear the rules and the things that we need to do this week. Help us to be truly honorable in your children and show you in our very actions to those others that are around here this week, knowing that all opportunities are an opportunity for us to preach to those around. We can see in the signs and the times that truly, your kingdom is very close. And so we ask that this might be the day, this might be the very hour when you would send your Son with that glorious kingdom in his hands, and that all those that would call on you in truth and in righteousness around the world might have a humble portion therein. We ask this all in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
As our brother mentioned in his prayer, it truly is a blessing that we're able to meet here, away from the distractions of the world, with the family of God, with our brothers and sisters, and spend this time not only recharging our batteries, but being able to glorify our Heavenly Father this week, to renew friendships, to encourage each other as we see the day approaching. And we really do look forward to the week, God willing, that we'll be able to strengthen and encourage each other to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that God is at work in our lives. And so, brothers and sisters, this week we have so many who have come to this Bible school and have been willing to give well before the school as well as actually at the school. And we'd just like to take this opportunity to thank all of you for coming and all of you for your efforts in making this school successful, because it takes quite a few. In the booklet, you'll see there's a list of all the directors and the different roles. So if you have a question in a particular area, you can go into the booklet and look at the person who's responsible, and they'll be more than glad to help you out on any questions that you might have. So the purpose of tonight is we're going to take a few minutes to relax a little bit. We're going to get to have the main speakers come up and give us a brief introduction on what they have planned for us this week. Now, the speakers have spent a tremendous amount of time and effort on our behalf to put together their studies and share them with us. So we're very thankful for that time and effort that they've done on our behalf. So we'll ask each of the speakers to come up, and then after the speakers have come up, we'll then take a few minutes to go through some of the important rules or regulations and things that we need to talk about for the school to make sure that we're successful. So the first speaker that we're going to ask to come up is Brother Gary, and we'll give the mic to him.
Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. There was there is some confusion about what I'm supposed to say tonight, when before I came to the Bible school, I was told that I was supposed to introduce myself and tell you something about myself. And now Paul has just said I'm supposed to give a summary of everything I'm going to talk about for the week. So you might get a little bit of both here. Anyways, one thing that is for sure is that of the three speakers, I'm probably the only one that you're going to understand, because I do not speak with an accent, eh? I used to be a city dweller. Our family used to be city dwellers until about a year and a half ago, and we moved to a farm. The farm has a bit of bush. It has some pasture. Has some arable land, and it's farmed organically. We have 40 chickens, a horse, and we plan on getting a few cows. And 3 weeks ago, this is one of the things that I've always wanted to do. It's kind of on my bucket list type of thing, is be an apiculturalist. And so 3 weeks ago, my wife and I went to a course. An apiculturalist is somebody who keeps bees, right? And we went to a course on keeping bees, and we now have our first beehive going, and we hope to grow that moving forward. And bees are just amazing creatures. A beehive in itself is a huge exhortation, because there's tens of thousands of bees in a hive, and they don't operate on an individual basis at all. They operate for the functioning of the hive as a whole. And there's a huge exhortation just in that for us in the creation that God has made. Now, I'm not sure how well I'm doing as a farmer. As I mentioned, we had chickens and we had a possum problem in our barn. And possums are a menace to chickens. And so we had to take care of the possums. So I don't own a gun. And my son Ben and I, we set a trap. We bought some traps at TSC stores and set a trap in the barn. And we get up in the morning. We set it at night, got up in the morning. There's a big, huge possum in the trap. It's like, all right, we caught the possum. And it's like, great, what do we do with it now? And well, we can't, you know, we're not going to truck it a couple miles away and let it go, because then it's going to be somebody else's problem and it might just come back. We got to do this possum in. And what's the most humane way? So anyway, long story short, after a lot of debate, Ben and I got this cardboard box and we cut a hole in the end of the cardboard box and we put the possum in the cardboard box and hooked it up to the tailpipe of the car and ran the car for about 15 or 20 minutes thinking, you know, that's going to be a humane way to die. It's just gradually going to fall asleep and then, you know, keel over and it's all going to be good, right? So after 20 minutes, we, open up the box and there's the possum, you know, dead as a doornail, lying there in the trap. So we take it out and we're all proud of ourselves and we walk to the edge of our property and we put it over the fence, dump the possum out onto the ground. As soon as it hits the ground, shakes itself off and truds off into the bush. And now I know what it means to play possum. And I got had. So I don't know. I got a bit of learning to do as a farmer. Amy and I have been married for 31 years. We are the same age. I'm not going to tell you how old we are, but we were both baptized at the age of 15 in 1979. When I was baptized, we were actually evacuated from our home. I don't know if anybody down here heard about the Mississauga train rail disaster, but we lived in Mississauga and a population of about 500,000 people, and the whole city was evacuated because of a train derailment. And while we were evacuated and not living at home is when I was baptized. We have three children. Our oldest son is Ben. He's here. He's 26. We have another son, Robbie, who is 22 and goes to university. And our youngest daughter, Shaley, is 18, and she is just finishing high school. We have a big event in our life coming up this summer. And for those of you who are from the Midwest, you may be familiar with my son, because my oldest son, because he's frequented this area quite regularly, because he's engaged to one of your young ladies from down here, Sister Alicia Casellas, and they're going to be married on Labor Day. So you might see a little bit more of the cousins down here in the Midwest as time goes on. You might also notice an old guy in the audience who looks a lot like me. He sounds a lot like me, so I'm told, and he has a lot of the same mannerisms that I do. And that would be my dad. So my mom and dad happen to be here, both Roger and Donna Cousins. And you may see my dad wearing a Montreal Canadiens logo on some of his attire during the week. And that's because there is only one true sport, and that is hockey. So anyways, we're totally open to any sports that you play down here, but you might have to teach us a thing or two. We belong to the Brant County Ecclesia, and a little story about the Brant County Ecclesia. We've belonged to that ecclesia for about 3 years. And we used to rent a facility in a community center, and we outgrew that facility, not because our ecclesia itself outgrew it, because we didn't have enough Sunday school rooms. And Brother Don Luff, who is here, leads the adult Sunday school class, and he speaks so loudly at Sunday school that he drowns out my class. So we needed to look for an ecclesial hall. So we embarked upon looking for an ecclesial hall, and we looked for, 2 or 3 years, maybe 4. I don't know how long we were looking, quite a long time. And I don't know what the price of buildings are down here, but back in Brantford, you know, we were looking at buildings that were $500,000, $600,000, and still needed a few a few hundred thousand dollars put into them to fix them up, to make them worthwhile. And then late last fall, a building came up. It's an older church. It was built in the 1800s. And been very well taken care of. It was a Baptist church, and when we saw it come on the market, we went and had a look at it, and they were only asking $200,000 for it. And, you know, we got all excited, and, you know, we put an offer together and submitted the offer. And I guess there was, like, I don't know, 15 or 20 different offers on this property. And, Brother Don, I don't know if I'm getting all the details right, but the salient points, I think, are there. There was 15 or 20 offers on this property. Long story short, we actually offered them $240,000, which was more than what they were asking for, and we lost the bid. They gave it to another individual, we don't know who, and they actually accepted an offer that was less than ours for this piece of property. So we were pretty disappointed. We found this out on a Monday morning, and, you know, we basically had resigned ourselves to the fact that, you know, this ecclesia was not meant to be ours, or this hall was not meant to be ours. Well, Friday we get a call saying their financing fell through, and the church is no longer available, or is now available. But the priest or the minister or whatever, he doesn't want to sell it to the Christadelphians. But the minister was very willing to sell, turned to the real estate agent and said, well, why don't you buy it and then you sell it to the Christadelphians? He just didn't want it to go on record that he was the one that sold it to the Christadelphians. And so anyway, long story short, what we ended up doing is we deducted $2,000 from the $240,000 that we offered, and we used the $2,000 to set up a trust fund, and they sold it to a trust fund, and then we bought it from the trust fund, and ended up with the ecclesial hall. And it's been very exciting, and it's posed a few challenges within our ecclesia, because now we've got a whole new dynamic and a whole new list of opportunities and jobs and things that need to be done that we didn't have before. But it's pretty exciting at our ecclesia right now, because it's all so new. But we, you know, we felt it was an answer to prayer, and you know, we said a lot of prayers going through it, and you know, we feel that it was the hand of God working to get us that ecclesial hall. And surprisingly enough, we were very close to signing a lease agreement on a property that we would have spent more on over the 10 years of the lease than what it's costing us for this ecclesial hall. And at the end of the lease, we would have had nothing to show for it. And so we've been very well blessed, and it's very exciting ecclesially. So that's a little bit about who I am and where I come from and where I belong ecclesially. What I want to talk about now is what we're going to be doing this week, and we're going to be talking, obviously, about the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is my favorite character in Scripture, and that's my favorite book in the Bible. We're going to look at some very practical lessons. Nehemiah is a very practical book. It's about spiritual leadership. And Nehemiah is one of the premier spiritual leaders in all of Scripture. He shows incredible integrity of character. He shows us how and gives us the ability to stand firm in the face of opposition. He shows us how we can motivate others to the task at hand and think strategically. He teaches us how to pray. He teaches us about how to love the brotherhood and sacrifice ourselves for them and for their well-being. And so we're going to look at Nehemiah as a man of prayer. We're going to look at our role in building the walls of our ecclesia. And we're going to look at how Nehemiah organized the people in light of how we organize and conduct affairs within our ecclesia as well. So as we go through the book of Nehemiah, hopefully together we will be inspired by his example, and we will leave here better equipped to be spiritual leaders in our ecclesia when we return home.
Thank you, Brother Gary. That was very well done. Gave us a lot of insight into your background. You're a man outstanding in your field, we hear, and you've been put out to pasture. So, now we look forward to your classes on Nehemiah. Thank you very much for sharing with us. Our next speaker is Brother Jim Cowie, and we'll ask Brother Jim to come forward.
Well, thanks, Brother Paul. Good evening, brethren and sisters and young people. Opportunity to say something about myself is not all that desirable, but anyway, I'm going to do it by the same way we did it 5 years ago here at the first Trine, by showing you a six-minute video about the Cowie family. So that'll come a little while later. As you've seen from the program, what we propose to do is to work ourselves through the first four chapters of the book of Genesis. What could be more fundamental than that? Every vital and important doctrine of the Bible, every principle of the Bible, everything God wants us to know about the beginning of this creation is there in those four chapters of Genesis. And even the framework of Bible prophecy is there in those chapters. It could not be more fundamental to our faith. But we're also going to see the profundity of it. There's simplicity and profundity in those chapters of the Bible. And so as we work our way through, many things will be familiar to us, but I can tell you, I can guarantee to you, based on experience, that there will be some surprises for some. Okay? Now, be ready for that. If there are surprises, know this, that what you're going to hear in this series of studies comes from our Christadelphian heritage. You're going to hear many quotations from the writings of our pioneers, in particular, Brother Thomas, whose exposition of those chapters is par excellence. And so if there are surprises, it perhaps suggests that we need to return to the writings of our pioneers. And I can tell you that our community, in some respects, has got away from it. And we need to get back to it. We have a huge problem in Australia with theistic evolution. I never, ever thought I would see the day when ecclesias, huge ecclesias, would protect people who teach theistic evolution. They call it God-directed evolution nowadays. That is one of the things that's happening. And I think we as a community have contributed to that by being sucked in by the creation scientists' approach to Genesis chapter 1. We need to go back to our roots on that, brothers and sisters, and that's what we're going to be doing here in this series of studies. Now, I'm not going to be able to say everything that I'd like to say in the course of these six sessions. It's just far too much. So what I've done is made available, in electronic form, a set of notes that was prepared for the 2013 Manitoulin Youth Conference, which just happened to be on Genesis 1 to 4. You will see down on the platform here, there's two sets of documents and a piece of paper. In front of that, there's a little plastic container which has in it a USB drive. So there are several ways that if you want this material, you can get it. If you have something with a USB slot on it, laptop or whatever it may be, then you can pop that USB stick in there and download what you wish. And there is in there three folders. There is a folder of the PowerPoint presentation that you're going to be seeing during the week. There is a folder of documents, not just those two, but several documents in relation to this subject. In particular, there's a couple of documents on theistic evolution. There's also a folder of videos. In fact, the video you're about to see, and also the video we're going to be showing to the teenage group on, I think it's Monday night, in relation to social media. And we're going to show them a short video from Simon Sinek on millennials in the workplace, which has some pretty wise comments that are made during the course of it. So that's what you'll see on that USB stick. Now, if you don't have a USB device, there's another sheet of paper there with a pen. If you have an email address, you might like to jot down your email address, and I will get that to you this evening, God willing. So I will email you from our little unit over the way here, and you'll have it as a PDF document, okay, that two or three of the documents that are important. So there's a couple of ways to go about that. But if you just want to see what those documents are, there is a 13-page document prepared for the youth conference on Manitoulin, and there is an 8-page or 9-page document of Bible marking notes on Genesis 1 to 3. Okay, so that's available. I mean, you don't wish to have the documents, that's fine by me, but they're there if you would like to get hold of them. You ready for this? I'm going to show this and then sit down. Get it? It is G. Yeah, if it was about Paul, it would be otherwise. But anyway, so...
Thank you, Brother Jim. It's good to get caught up a little bit. I saw a couple changes from last time, so you did update it. We're looking forward to the Genesis classes. Obviously, many of us in the Midwest do the Learn to Read the Bible seminar, followed up by the Genesis classes, and they are the fundamental scriptural principles that really teach all you need to learn about what God's plan and purpose is. It's amazing how in Genesis all those first principles are covered, so we look forward to that this week. Our third speaker is Brother Simon, and so we'll ask Brother Simon to come up.
Good. Thank you, brother, and very good evening, brothers and sisters. Well, we're very much looking forward to spending a week with you in fellowship around the word, of course, that we hold so dear. Now, I did read the memo, and so I have a short presentation introducing myself and also on the studies that we're going to enjoy together. So let me first introduce my family. So this is Sister Cindy and myself and our four children, and I'll just introduce them going from the right-hand side. So that's Sister Bethany. She's 21, unfortunately couldn't be with us. She's busy working, so we had to leave her behind in New Zealand, and that's also a very dangerous age to be bringing across to America anyway. The next one is Sister Dania. She's 17. She is here, and my view is that 17 is too young for anything, so she's come along with us. And then, of course, the homeless-looking guy in the middle with 5 days' worth of stubble, looking like he's been dragged out of his holiday sleep in the afternoon, is myself. And that's Sister Cindy there, who is my rock and wife. Unfortunately, she's not here this evening. We've just been down at the Texas Bible School. It was a fairly rough trip in last night, so she spent the day in bed, but hopefully she'll be fine to join us tomorrow. Next on the left is Sister Jamie. She's 22. She's also not with us. She's busy down in New Zealand, although, God willing, she'll be attending the Manitoulin Youth Conference in a number of weeks, and then spending a week in Toronto. Next on the left, then, finally, is Joseph. He's 13, and he is with us. So the four of us are joining with you this week. Now, being a father of 3 daughters, 2 just left their teenage years and 1 still in them, is quite a momentous thing. Here's a quick little picture I couldn't help put in there, which sort of captures them, and also, I think, is the definition of irony. So these are my 3 girls, and they tell me that I'm now a work in progress for them, now that they've matured. The 2 current things they tell me they're working on with me is sharing empathy in a way that is looking genuine, and also looking as if you're paying attention when you're being talked to. So wonderful being the father of 3 daughters, they teach you an awful lot. All right, well, that's our family. When I thought about myself, and I thought, well, you know, how do you introduce yourself and give a little bit of a snapshot? I thought, well, what I'd do is share with you 4 particular things. So one is, I've got a little box here, which is things I know lots about. There's another one, things I don't know much about. Then there's another one, things I like and things I don't like. And hopefully out of those 4, you'll get a little bit of a sense of who I am, and the teenagers can get a bit of a sense of who I am as I interact with you over this week. So here's the things I know lots about. So the first thing is I know a little bit about the Bible. You know, the older you get, the more involved with the Scripture. You know what I mean by this? You realize how vast and enormous the Scripture is. And so while you might have studied in depth some certain elements, you become more and more clear that really you don't know that much about the Scripture. I know lots about rocks. I collect rocks, gemstones. I'm a bit of an amateur geologist, much to the embarrassment of my kids. I've dragged them all over the place. I'll be dragging them back through Denver on the way home. I've got a geologist pick in my bag. True. So rocks is one of my hobbies, something I enjoy getting out there into God's creation and looking for gemstones. I also know a lot about growing pine trees. If you want to know anything about growing pine trees, come and see me. I and my brother have got quite involved in growing pine trees. I have a career and background in banking, economics and finance, so if anybody wants to have any discussion on those three subjects on the handy whiteboard, come and see me. I'd be thrilled. I could spend hours talking about those three subjects. And finally, fishing. I enjoy going out with Joseph, and I've got a few pictures I'll share with you. Brother Jim did a little bit of an advertisement for Australia, so I've got a little bit of an advertisement here too for New Zealand for you in a moment. But Joe and I like going out together again into God's creation and doing a bit of fishing. So those are some things I know lots about. Here's some of the things I don't know much about. I don't know much about lots of the Bible. So while I've gone very in-depth into some elements of it, there's much about the Bible that I don't know. And one of the wonderful things around your Bible school is you meet brothers and sisters who've looked at other parts of Scripture, have life experiences different than your own. And I find I learn an awful lot in the interactions with brothers and sisters on other parts of the Bible that I have little knowledge of, and I'm very much looking forward to that. Farming. So unlike Brother Gary, I don't know much about farming at all. I am the proud owner of three lawn mowing sheep. We have 1 hectare of land, and the grass paddock was growing very quickly, so I bought 3 sheep to be lawn mowers for that, but I really don't know what I'm doing. And we bought them when they were really, really small, and they look actually quite tasty, so I don't know if they're going to last very much longer. Cars. I know nothing about cars. Right, so I know where the petrol goes, and I know where the key goes to turn it on, and I know how to drive one, but that's all I know about cars. But I'm game, so if anybody's an engineer and knows lots about cars, I'll be keen on knowing something about them, but I really am not mechanically or technically minded. Teenage daughters, I really don't know much about. You know, I've often say that teenage daughters is like Einstein's general theory of relativity. And it's when you understand you can't understand it that you get it. And shopping. I really don't know much about shopping at all either, which is a surprise, having 4 females in our family. But also, Sister Cindy really never sends me out to the supermarket for the shopping. I go out with a long list, and I'm one of these impulse buyers, if you know what I mean. You're driving down the aisles with the shopping trolley, and it's like, oh, that looks nice. Well, that looks nice. And when I get back, I haven't bought anything on the list. So I'm not that good at shopping. All right, here's some of the things I like. Of course, Bible study, the ecclesia, the family are the center of my life as it is for all of you. And that's very much one of the key areas of life and something, of course, which gives us great enjoyment in this life and that to come. Sleeping, talking, food, it sort of goes without saying. As I sat down there last night thinking, what things do I like? Well, they've got to come quite high on the list. And the other thing I like is analysing everything. And if there's something that's really been a sore point, if you like, a point of contention in our marriage, it's this. And it's my tendency to analyse everything. And it's one, my wife sits there. I remember going, we were sitting a cafe the other day, and there was this unusually shaped salt shaker that just needed to be analysed. It was very inefficiently made and created, and they could have designed it differently. And she would say, we don't need to analyse that, Simon. We're here to relax and to talk to each other. I said, well, it needs to be. She says, it doesn't need to be. So that's something I really like. And she's introduced actually something into our family now. She calls it analytical free days. So she'll say, today is an analysing free day. No analysing to take place. All right, well, those are some of the things I like, and these are some of the things I don't like. I don't like getting up in the morning. I'm not a morning person at all. I like to stay up late into the wee hours of the morning. That's when my sharpest mind time is. So if you see me stumbling around in the morning, I really don't wake up before about 10 o'clock, which is good because I see I'm on the third session. So I'm not a morning person. I'm an evening person. I don't like crowded places with lots of noise. It really sort of agitates me, so you'll probably see me going into the dining room and heading out fairly quickly, unless you've engaged me in conversation on cars or something like that. And finally, I don't like being told to stop analysing things. All right, well, hopefully that gives you a little bit of a flavour of who I am. What I'll do is quickly introduce you to our ecclesia. So We're members of the Tawa Ecclesia in Wellington, so those familiar with New Zealand, I'll give you a quick description of that in a moment. Our Tawa Ecclesia is the bottom of the South Island. There are three ecclesias in Wellington. This one, Tawa, I'm a member of, has about 70 people there. A very vibrant ecclesia, very, very busy, highly involved in two Bible schools a year, big gospel proclamation effort going on, and you can see there's a mini baby boom going on in our ecclesia at the moment with a number of young couples and babies being born there too. So that's our ecclesial camp very recently. You can probably see at the top left-hand side Brother Roger Lewis, who many of you will know, I'm sure, who was leading that camp for us. And also, lest I forget, about five people in towards the back on the left-hand side is my brother Mark, who I understand has been here. Before I went, he gave me this long list of people to say hello to, and I said, look, I'm going to forget all of those, so I'll do it once. Hello to everybody who knows Mark and Nari O'Grady, who've been over here and I know has many great memories of time spent with you. So that's our home ecclesia in Tawa. Now, many of you will have a question of, well, where is New Zealand and what is New Zealand? So I'm going to give you a quick little geography lesson just to answer that question. And it starts with this. So that's the United States of America. How many here are Canadians? Good. So we'll understand this geography lesson. That's the USA. That is not the USA. Now, why that's important is because of this. That's Australia. And that is not Australia. It was actually invited, I think, to Federation, was it not? And it declined. I think the reason was, because, of course, everyone knows, right, that the key difference between Australia and New Zealand. Sorry, Brother Jim, you started it. England sent their criminals to Australia, but it was the entrepreneurs and the adventurers who came to settle New Zealand. So, this is funny. We were at the Grand Canyon a year or so back, and we were at a souvenir store, and the lady heard my accent and said, oh, where are you from? I said, well, from New Zealand. She said, oh, I've always wanted to visit Australia. So I thought we should put the geography lesson up there so everyone was sure. And just to be clear, I thought we'd just do this little test. So where do you think New Zealand is? The red dots are, well, it's actually Shippensburg, I think, because this came from there, but the red dot's nearly here. Where do you think New Zealand is? A, B, C, or D? Who thinks it's C? Well, I'm really glad about that. Who thinks it's B? It's where the penguins live. Now, the thing about New Zealand is that it's actually a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. It's Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where they said that the gospel would be preached to the uttermost parts of the earth. And in the southern part of the South Island, there's a little town called Invercargill, where there's an ecclesia, brothers and sisters, the furthest place from Jerusalem of where there are believers anywhere on the planet. So New Zealand has the goes down as being the fulfillment of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Right, very quickly, before I wrap up, I did have 15 minutes, did I? Brother, is that what you said? 5 to 15? Was it? Good. New Zealand, of course, is renowned for its natural beauty. That's really New Zealand's sort of call to fame. A lot of beautiful countryside, big mountains, big rivers, a lot of volcanic sort of areas as well, beautiful beaches, a massive tourism sort of an industry. So needless to say, one of my favourite things is to get out into God's creation, particularly spending some time with Joseph, my son, while his sisters and mother go shopping, and to look at that beauty in creation. So here's a picture of me fly fishing on a South Island river for trout. Beautiful sort of countryside. Here's a picture of Joseph and I and my younger brother Ben and his son Nathan doing what was voted as the best day hike in the world, which is called the Tongariro Crossing across the volcanic plateau in the North Island. Some beautiful countryside there. Another shot of Joseph and I abseiling down about a 400-foot hole into the bottom of the earth there. You can probably see the look of terror on my face, trying to smile for the camera. I hate heights. I'm afraid of heights. And yet somehow we decided to abseil down into the hole in the earth. And then we had to hike out for about 3 hours up through these squeezing caves and underground rivers. But it's a marvellous time. So beautiful, beautiful place. And finally, here's another picture of Joseph and I. That's Joseph's fish, nearly 10 pounds. If you have a look at the look on my face, it sort of captures jealousy, envy. And I paid quite a lot for this guide, and that's my fish. So anyway, that's a quick introduction to me and the family in New Zealand. Just conclude with what we're going to be covering in the subject of Jesus of Nazareth. And really in our six studies, we have two big aims, really. One's relationship and one's understanding. So we're going to be focusing on just the first early chapters, two chapters of Luke, the first two chapters of Matthew, the first chapter of John, to try and capture this incredible, incredible one, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, to understand he's presented and introduced to us in the text in those gospel records, and to really increase our relationship with him through our understanding of how he's presented. So we're going to begin, God willing, with the first study looking at the world and times, and that's really going to be a bit more of a history lesson. We're going to look at the way the Father created the world and the times for the arrival of his Son. We're going to look at the Roman Empire and the Herodian world and the Judean world that was soon doomed in AD 70 and beyond. And we're going to see this marvelous base and foundation for the introduction of Jesus of Nazareth. Then we're going to look at the Gospel of Luke, where he says, I'm setting specifically out in order certain things so you can understand, have a full understanding of the Messiah. Then we're going to look at that incredible record of the kings and the wise men, and we're going to see in that study that it explodes right through Scripture, that narrative. We're going to look at the name of Jesus and then at his character and the character of the Father, grace and truth, before wrapping up that series really with this incredible study that looks at the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of everything in the Scripture. With those two big aims, to increase and improve our understanding of who he is and our relationship with him. Then with the teenagers, we're going to look at this subject, one of the subjects very dear to my heart, which is looking at a very simple Bible study process, just three steps, but a very powerful one that's true to the Bible's own method and process. So in the first three studies with the teens, we're going to introduce them that process so that they learn some very good Bible study techniques and habits and tools. And we're going to take that and we're going to look at the subject of Bible symbol, Bible parable, and Bible typology before we build out to the final study and look at an incredible way in which from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, these master symbols are created and just flow right throughout the Scripture. Looking at the heaven and the earth and the sea and the sun, moon and stars and the tree of life and these great master symbols that run right through Scripture into Revelation. So some wonderful material, some wonderful subjects ahead of it. Very much looking forward to meeting with you all and getting to know you as we share this wonderful week of fellowship together. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Brother Simon. We're excited to hear the classes coming up this week. Being a good presider, I almost feel like I got to give Brother Jim and Brother Gary a rebuttal time, but they can deal with that later. Okay, we're just going to take a few moments to go through a couple of the rules for the week. And basically, there's really one really important rule. And that's, first of all need to conduct ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ. And in our interactions with each other, in our interactions with those that we come in contact with here at the school, we need to remember that the Trine School, even though we do rent the property for the week, it doesn't shut down. Trine still has employees here that have their work that they do every day. This year, God, thankfully, we have no other groups here. In the past, we've had a football team and we've had band camp. This year, we're the only group on campus. But the administrative office and others are actively involved in carrying out their tasks during this week. And we need to remember that we are guests here at Trine, and be aware that there are other people around trying to do their jobs. That being said, we have a great opportunity to allow our lights to shine brightly, to show that we are a different people, to be courteous, to smile, to be thankful for the tasks that are being done on our behalf, and hopefully to have some good conversations, hopefully even to make some relationships to where people might be interested in why we are a different people and the things that we do. We have on Friday here at the school, they have what they call administration day, and that's where they bring the parents and kids of potential students for the school. So you'll notice on Friday there'll be a lot of people, a lot of signs up, a lot of advertising going on to try and encourage those students to come to the school. They will be using some of the same facilities we do. They come into this hall. They'll be in the cafeteria in the afternoon for dinner. And so we ask that you're not only are you aware of that, but that you're very friendly in your interactions so that we don't in any way deter somebody from wanting to come to the school. So on Friday, we're going to ask the parents of younger people, and if any parents are riding scooters, not to ride the hill over in front of the cafeteria on Friday. So on Friday, the scooters get a day off, a rest day. That'll be our Sabbath. And so that way when visitors are coming in, nobody feels like they're going to get run over, and that area will be nice and clean so that people can come in without any distractions. The rest of the time, the scooters are, you know, welcome. We ask the parents watch their kids. I know as a kid myself, I would have loved to have a hill like that. We actually did have one at Hanover that we used to go down on our rollerblades, and that always caused a lot of excitement. Please watch your kids while they're out there and be courteous of others that are walking around. And when they're done riding their scooters, if they can keep the scooters parked off to the side so they're not in the way of the doors and don't get in the way of people trying to enter into the building. The other thing that people might not be aware of is that they have a cleaning team throughout the week. So on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I don't think that somebody was in your room without you knowing. But they're going to come around usually around 8:30 in the morning after we have left for our devotions and classes and breakfast. And they clean up the trash in the room, and they also straighten up the bathroom and replace the supplies. So those workers, those helpers will be there. So I just want everyone to be aware of that so nobody is shocked or surprised by that. We're not supposed to remove any of the furniture from the rooms. Some of you might need a stepladder to get into your bed. If you need help with getting your bed lowered, we can take care of that. But please don't move things around or out of the rooms. All of us have been given our name tags. I had to take mine off because of reflection of light. But the name tags, please wear the name tags. It really is helpful for everybody, especially as some of us get a little bit older, to see the name just as a quick reminder. On the back of the name tag, right, you've seen those books where they have, I work in technology, they have C-sharp for dummies, we have name tag for dummies. So if you turn it over, all the information's on there and security is on there if you need to get a hold of somebody. But please wear your name tag. The key that is on your name tag obviously is to your room, and if that key is lost, we do get charged $25. So please keep track of the key so they don't get lost. A couple other things during classes, in between classes, we have an opportunity to have a break, and in the back there'll be coffee and tea and cookies, and everybody's welcome to participate in that. Just ask that all of us work together to get back in the class in time for the next session. Usually one brother or somebody else is out there trying, the presiding brother is trying to get everybody to come in, and everyone looks at him like he's crazy. So, if you could all help in trying to get everybody in so we could start on time, that would be greatly appreciated. Those of you who have kids with rollerblades or scooters or bikes or whatever else, they're not supposed to be out after dark. So after dark, those are supposed to be put away. That's for the safety of everybody. One other thing that I just wanted to remind everybody of is that everyone, including all the teens, and everyone is expected to be here for devotions at 9:15. That's how we start our day in the morning. We have our announcements, and we do our first reading, so that would be great if everybody could try and be here for devotions. No controversial issues are supposed to be discussed on the campus, and no special meetings without the permission of the Midwest Bible School Committee. So if there's something that you would like to have discussed, please see the committee, and we can talk about whether it's appropriate for the school or not. So those are the, there's a whole list of rules, but most of them are in the book, or most of them are in the highlights, so I'll let you, sort of like a search, you can search and try and find different messages. But all the information you really need, for the most part, is in the booklet. So your schedule and everything that is going to be involved. As you walk by the registration table, you'll see a bulletin board or a whiteboard. Usually the events for the day, any highlights will be on there. You'll get a highlight sheet in the morning that you can read through and see what's going on. So we try and keep everybody up to date with what's happening. The last thing that I just wanted to remind everybody of is the tape recording, the recordings for the week of the audio and the video. Obviously, over the last few years here, we've started a new era in our recording. And so we just wanted to let everybody know, as we start our journey into a new world here a little bit, we've changed some things. The recording have moved to USB audio sticks and SD video cards. So the USB stick will be for all the audio, and we'll have SD cards for the videos. All the audios will be on one stick. So when you order your stick, or if you want to get all the audio for the week, there'll be a $20 charge for that. The videos will be on SD cards, separate SD cards. One card will be per teacher, per class, and then there will be one for all the evening programs. So that is the media now for ordering. There's no more CDs, no more DVDs, and so as we move forward, that's the direction moving forward. The USB and SD cards will be available for pickup after dinner next Saturday, so before you leave. If you're leaving the school early and would like to order one, please let the team know, and there's a sign-up sheet to where you can sign up in the corridor beginning tomorrow. It will be available tomorrow. And if you'd like to include, if you'd like the chorus program included on your order, then you please need to let us know that, and that will be taken care of a little bit later. All right, so I do have a few announcements after the closure of some of the things that are happening tonight. We'll save those for after we conclude. What we'd like to do at this particular point in time, I'll ask the committee real quick, is there anything that I've missed that needs to be covered? Okay. So we will conclude our evening program, and we will be concluding with singing. And the singing will be out of our booklet again. We'll be singing Bless This School, after which we'll call upon our brother Roger Gore to offer a concluding prayer. And then if you could just remain seated afterwards, we have a few short announcements for some of the activities for today. So bless this school, O Lord, we pray. Be our guide by night and day. Bless our teachers. In thy word, let us hold to what we've heard.
Our loving and eternal Father in heaven, you are the great and mighty Creator, and thy wisdom is shown in all thy works. Thou indeed art awesome in all thy ways, and we are thankful that at this time we are able to approach unto thee through our Lord Jesus Christ at thy right hand. Our Heavenly Father, we know that thou art the Holy One of Israel, that thou hast declared thy purpose in the hope of that people, and we are thankful that we have been associated in it through thy word and in thy Son. Our loving God, as we continue our activities in this week, we have been reminded, our loving God, of the importance of the oil of thy word, which is able to build us up that we might gain an inheritance among the saints, that it can develop in us that kind of faith by which we can overcome in this world. May thou guide and direct all our endeavour, that we may bring unto thee the pleasure which is thy due. Our Heavenly Father, we do long for thy kingdom to come, for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the exercise of thy judgment and justice in all this earth. And our loving God, as we've been reminded even in this day, may we be considered a part of that cherubim of the age to come, which shall go forth to cleanse this world. Our Heavenly Father, therefore we pray thy blessing will remain with us, and it is our ardent desire that the time shall soon come when thine shall be the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.